Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Dan. We are delighted to have you with us, especially the many visitors and guests we have. It's always such a privilege for us to have you join with us on these special events or on any Sunday that you choose to come. And so I'm glad. And I would be, like Pastor Shatem, happy to meet you after the service. I want to start today with a little bit of a meditation on the neighborhood in which I live in, particularly one of the traffic intersections. I've lived on Mission Hill for 32 years, and we come down every day. We come down South Huntington Avenue, and South Huntington Avenue going north hits Huntington Avenue almost the same as this middle aisle, South Huntington. The road's even lifted up in the back, so when you're back there, you can see all the way down the road, and the road ends at Huntington Avenue, and you can either go right into the city down Huntington Ave, or you can go left towards Brookline and out west. It turns into Boylston Street and Route 9. There are two lanes of traffic coming towards me. But there is also a trolley track in the right hand, in the left turn lane, but the trolley is going to go right. So what that means in our neighborhood is that when you come, and we start back here because we come off of Heath Street, we're at the crest of the hill and we can see what's in front of us. And often what you see, because we are always, our family is always going to make a left. Yeah, we're coming down, we're going to go left towards Brookline. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm facing this way. So I'm going to... You with me? Yeah, so we always go left, which means that we are always in the lane that has the trolley in it, and that lane ends up backing way up, and sometimes it backs up 200 or 300 yards. The right-hand lane is almost always free and clear, and even the people who are making a right-hand turn, because the trolley turns to the middle of the road, they're not obstructed. Over the years, I have observed many times people, rather than waiting in the line at the back, go right down here and then throw on their blinker and force their way in front of the other car. I think for many years, maybe decades, that galled me. And I'd be thinking to myself, oh, I wish there was a cop there right in the intersection. Sometimes I'm on my bike. I go through this intersection on my bike more than in my car, which actually gives me quite an advantage. But we won't go there right now. And I often wish you could almost, from my bike, say to somebody, you must be like really important or something. But over the years, my thinking has changed. And I've begun to think more about the people who are in the line. Because I have realized that most of the time wait in line through 2 or 3 or even 4 light cycles. They just sit there and wait. They play by the rules of the game. And I've even said to Kathy while we're sitting in line, while we're waiting in line, I say, I'm amazed at how few people cut and just zip in front of you. Now, some of you may live in my neighborhood, and you might be under a great conviction of sin right now. I don't know. I'm not going to go there right now. But it just has amazed me, and I thought, and I've reflected on this, because we're in this intersection all the time, and I thought, you know, the reason people wait in line is because basically people are good. People are generally good. They generally want to do the right thing. They'll wait in line. They will, if they were to find a wallet with money in it, would want to return it intact, right? Most people would almost be like their honor, right? It's your honor. It's like, I want to get this back to the owner. They're not going to like take the cash out, return it, and say, oh, this is how I found it. Most people won't do that. I've met people at MIT through our English classes from all over the world. And there are a lot of nice people out there, a lot of good people. I was just in Ethiopia. People there were marvelous. I've had the opportunity to go to Vietnam. The people there were lovely. I've been to Guatemala. I've traveled to Argentina. I've been to the Netherlands to visit Danielle and Maria. In all these places, I've run into good people. In fact, I think people are basically good. They basically want to do the right thing. However, when you consider our world, despite the fact that people are basically good, our world still faces tremendous troubles. So even though we're basically good, our societies and communities face the exploitation of women and children and the poor all around the world. We have the hashtag MeToo movement recently. We have violence in the land. There's violence that people are all upset about. Over these past few years, we've continued to confront the never-ending pain of racism. And it's not just, of course, racism in the United States. We've heard from other countries that in other countries, maybe it's not the same historic racism we have here, but you'll have even tribal differences. And you can think of wars that have erupted and slaughters that have occurred between tribal groups in the past 25 or 30 years. That in almost every society right now, and I'm sorry, I don't have my facts with me, but is it in Burma or Myanmar that a Muslim group are being completely mistreated, driven out of their land where they've lived for so long? So we've got these problems all over the world. Even though I would just argue at sort of the observational level that people are basically good. And this isn't like an April Fool's Day. I'm gonna flip it. People are good, but maybe good isn't good enough. And maybe what I actually want to suggest to you, and actually invite you into thinking with me, as much a message that I don't want to bring you a message so much as get you thinking with me, because what I want to propose to you today doesn't. Like, in a way, doesn't finally, completely, irreversibly conclude. I mean, in a way, I will, but in other ways, it's something we need to deeply ponder and think about. The thing is this, I don't know that we're meant to be good. Now, certainly, we're not meant to be bad. But I don't think we're meant to be good, because good gets us what we've got. And very few people would say what we got in a worldwide scope for, on average, everyone is anything that's close to a utopian reality. Again, I would just think of the incredible distances, gaps between rich and poor, for example, that exist around the world, between nations, on and on we could go. So if we're not made to be good, and we're certainly not made to be bad, what are we meant to be? I want to get you to think this. I think we're meant to be great. And I think that great is not good better. I think good and bad are on a continuum in the human plane or human level of experience. And you can be a little bit more toward one or toward another, and you can somewhere slot yourself. You know, when they ask people, you'll probably give yourself like a B or a B+, right? Not many people are honest enough to say C or C- or D+, right? We don't want to go there. Let's just forget about those times. You know, the time I cut in, it was because I had to do it, you know? I think great is something completely different. And I think that's what Jesus is teaching his disciples in the story that I've chosen for us to meditate on together today. And I've printed it and put it in your bulletin so you can just look at it and actually take the... I often like to make us get out Bibles and all that, but I printed it out. It's in the bulletin on a purple sheet of paper. It's Matthew 20, 26 through 28. Paul Bothwell, are there more bulletins in the back, and are there extra? Could you please make them available to people? So if you don't have one, let's take a moment and get you one. You could, of course, if you had a Bible, open your Bibles to Matthew 20. That would be another way. And I know many people just pop open their cell phone, and that's okay. You can do that too. But I printed it out because I wanted you to have it. Take it home. Continue to think about what I'm presenting to you today, that this isn't about good. God has something much different in mind for his creatures, for his image bearers, for those who are his representatives on earth. And I think what he has in mind is that we be great. Anybody else need a copy? I think we've got plenty. All right, you guys ready? Here we go. This is Matthew 20. 20 through 28. It's from the Gospel of Matthew. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, kneeling down, and asked a favor of him. What is it you want? She asked. He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Before I continue, let me just say a short prayer. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to teach us. And we pray, Father, that we would understand what it means to be great through him. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Here in this passage, Jesus' disciples, who are good guys, right? Everyone agreed? The disciples, 12, good guys. Well, there was actually one bad apple, right? But the other 11, these two are of the 11, they're good guys. These are the guys Jesus chose. They're good people from Israel. They're godly people. They want to follow God. But they were a little ambitious, and they wanted to see the seats at Jesus' right and left hand in his kingdom. And it could very well be, if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, when I'm on South Huntington now and I see somebody cut, I think to myself, I'm trying to make myself think, they probably didn't realize what they were getting into because the line was so far back. And in fact, I was in Waltham just this February, and I'm driving down Route 20, and all of a sudden, I'm in a turn lane that I don't want to be in, and now I know why there was a long line in the other lane. So what did I do? I cut in. I had to go that way. Right? And I was hoping people would understand. Even though I have a mass plate, I'm not from Waltham. It's not as confusing as Somerville, but it's not easy to drive in Waltham. So these guys might be thinking they want positions of power and authority to do good. Most of us would love, for example, to have a lot of money. Because we think, oh, we could do good with it, right? That's our impulse. Because we are generally good people. So that's what we're thinking. And they very well were probably thinking something good. But they were thinking at this level of, like, good and bad. It's a very human plane. And Jesus was trying to get them to think in a whole new way. So he's going to turn their world and turn their thinking, and turn their life upside down. He's not going to let them stay in like the human way of thinking, the world's way of thinking. And so he expresses to them what greatness is. And you can tell by the very teaching that he's calling them to be great. And what greatness is service. And being first is being last. Now, if that were you and you're sitting there, your head is spinning. Because this is not how it works. The way it works is you make a citizen's arrest on the person cutting in, or the policeman's there, and you're like, yeah. The very thing you hope for would not happen to you. You want to happen to other people. Right? I was at a rally for former CBCer Nika Elugardo. And Nika's going to be running for state rep in the state Senate. And so we're very excited for her. And she had, her keynote speaker at her rally, Mel King. Mel King is a renowned politician and political activist and neighborhood activist and adjunct professor at MIT. And Mel, in pitching Nika, said that Nika knew the difference between the love of power and the power of love. That Nika knew the difference between the love of power and the power of love. And I think that's the very lesson that Jesus was bringing to the disciples. Because they had a love of power. And they were probably thinking they could do a lot of good as Jesus's, you know, lieutenants in the kingdom in bringing about what was good. They had been seeing him work. I'm sure they probably felt pretty good about how they could move the agenda forward, right? And bring good things. Bring God's rule through me. Here we go. But Jesus had to teach them. He had to teach them the difference between the love of power and the power of love. And so he calls them here to the power of love. And he says, that's what it means to be great. Because people, the disciples, you and me, we weren't called to try to live on this continuum of good and bad. We were called, we were made, we were born to be great. And greatness is something spiritual. It's something that God works. It's not something that we just do down here. In my thinking, and again, I'm offering you, I want you to be thinking with me. Reflect, even as you leave the place. It was making me think that in the garden, if you know the story of creation in the Bible, the story of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were told, don't eat from the tree of good and evil. He said, here's the tree of life, you want to eat this. You don't want to eat this because it's going to bring about death. And as I was thinking into this message, I was thinking about this, the fact that the reality is not bad, good, great. That bad and good are like down here, and they're part of that tree. It's kind of like the natural tree. It's the human tree. It's what we do. And it's what we've saddled ourselves with. We've saddled ourselves with good and bad. And we're even mostly good. And we found that good is not good enough. In fact, mostly good is bad. And God's offering us something great. We were made to be great. We were made in the image of God, and we better all hope that Christianity is right when we say that God is not a little good and a little bad, somehow mixed together and tipped toward the good. That would be bad. God is great. Jesus gives himself as an example here. When he tells them, here's what greatness is. Greatness is being the servant of everyone. Greatness is being willing to be last. Greatness is not just waiting patiently in line, it's giving up your place in line. That's what greatness is. Jesus says in verse 28 that he is the Son of Man did not, that just as, he, in other words, he's saying, I'm calling you to greatness, I am demonstrating greatness. I'm great, you know, nobody calls this out though when you're hanging on a cross for the sins of the world. Nobody's calling it great. But that's what greatness is, because it's motivated by love. Great, in fact, you could say great is love. And we might say love is great. And so Jesus says that the Son of Man did not come to be served. He did not come to be great in the standard of good and bad. Good, bad, better, best down here. He's like, I'm not doing that at all. He came to serve. He came to give his life. He came to lift up. He came with mercy and grace. When you think of great people, who are some of the people you think of? I'll let you answer. Who are great people? If I said you name one great person, not Jesus right now, in human history, who would you name? Abraham Lincoln. Mother Teresa. Martin Luther King. Anybody else? Who? I'm sorry? Billy Graham. Somebody said something else over here. Well, I'll say this. I picked four, and you named three of the four. The only one that I didn't hear, although somebody might have said it, is I also included Mahatma Gandhi. Right? So I've got a few quotes from them, because let's hear what great people say. Let's look at the first quote is Martin Luther King Jr. By the way, this we're celebrating this week is the 50th anniversary of his assassination. So Martin Luther King Jr. said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? If you're leading a good life, you're not asking that question. Because that question takes you outside of yourself. Good and bad. Good is looking this way. You got to get in a mirror to do good and bad. How am I doing? Great is looking beyond. Great. You are constructed physically to be great because your eyes look out. All you see is your hands, right? Really, think about how much of your day. You don't think about your face at all. You're just looking out. You've been constructed for greatness. Greatness looks to the other. That is a great statement that life's most persistent and urgent question would be, what are you doing for others? The question I ask myself when I read that is, am I leading a great life? What's the next slide we have, Marcus? Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said, I've always found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice. It's beautiful. Mercy bears richer fruits. I've thought about, you know, again, standing in line on South Huntington, and when I am aggravated by people cutting, it doesn't produce rich fruits in me. But when I think to myself, I bet you that person didn't know the intersection. I'm like, it just leaves me calmer. Or if I even say, you know, I've done this very thing. It leaves me calmer. Oh, great people, they're like looking beyond themselves. What's the next quote we have? The next one is from Mother Teresa, and I've got several Mother Teresa quotes because she's pretty amazing in terms of her quotes. Spread love everywhere you go. Let no one come to you without leaving happier. You're out. It's great. The next one is, let's see the next Mother Teresa quote. Love is a fruit in season at all times and within reach of every hand. Boy, if you grow any kind of fruit, I grow cherries in my yard, and I am so eager for June because they come just once a year, and I just love the cherries that come off the tree in our yard. It's just something special about having something grow in your own place rather than getting it from a supermarket. But how beautiful it is that something much more beautiful, much more delicious, much more valuable is available all the time. All the time. The other Mother Teresa quote, This one's pretty powerful for us. The hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty. I'll tell you a personal story. My dad was, through his life, not loved by his own mother. And he had a brother. He was the younger of the two. And my grandmother, who I would say was mentally ill, always loved my uncle. My father went to his grave, hurting for the love of his mother. When you think of society, think of all the people who lack connections, lack family, or lack meaningful, loving connections. Mother Teresa's words open up a window of great opportunity for great people to walk through and minister to others. Do we have another? And there's one more quote, I think, from Mahatma Gandhi. He said, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." This is greatness. Greatness is what I believe God's made us for. This is what we're meant for. We're not meant to be good. And it could even be, and when I do this, I'm like, think with me, because I'm not claiming that, like, I've traced out all the lines of thought on this. It could be that, you know, the saying, good is the enemy of the best. You've heard of that saying, right? Good is the enemy of the best. It could be that our general goodness, you know, is maybe the very thing that keeps us rooted in a place that God never intended us to be when we've been called to greatness. But greatness is not easy. It's easy to preach this. But if I said, what is greatness? Greatness is being a servant all day, every day, for the rest of your life. You'll be great. It's being willing to be last all day, every day, the rest of your life. You'll be great if you're willing to take that route. Now you can understand why we think, well, maybe good and bad is not so bad. Maybe I'll just content myself down here on this continuum and just try to push it a little bit. I'm just going to go a little bit toward the good. A little more, one more step towards the good. Now squeeze out a little bit more money or a little bit more time or a little bit of energy. But my heart is unchanged, you know, or maybe not fully given over. And you might even say, well, how do you go from good to great? And that is a very good question. And I think I'm presenting this to you today because I think this weekend, Jesus reveals, in a sense, from the Father, humanity's path from good to great. Because on Good Friday, Jesus gave himself for the lives of everyone. He let go of, in a sense, his own life. Now, Jesus' greatness goes all the way back to his birth, and even, you'd say, maybe from all eternity when the plan was hatched, the Father, Son, and Spirit, that the Son would enter into humanity. But when he came to be with us, it says he gave up his rights, gave up his divine rights, took the humble position of a servant, and being found in a servant, he died a criminal's death on a cross. That was the path God laid before him. Path of just for you. Not for me, Jesus. Just for the world. Just for others. Just a great life. But on Sunday, today, woo, right? We sing all these joyful songs because he rose from the dead. The Father, it says, raised him from the dead. And the Bible teaches us that this path that Jesus took is the path that is now open to all of us. That is, if you come to your own Good Friday, bring your goodness. It's bad enough. And admit it. Say, I'm done with this. If you look back for a moment at the sheet I gave you, it says that Jesus gave himself as a ransom for our sin. Does it say for our sin? A ransom for many. A ransom is a payment that you make to free someone, right? We often think in our Christian teaching, and we think, oh, God set us free from the bad. But I want you to think today, God set you free from the good. Because the good binds you to the good and bad continuum as much as the bad does. He died to set us free from this whole tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this whole kind of stuck in humanity and what we can do thing, and he's released us to give up our lives and to give up our rights and to let go of it all and to allow his life, because now he's alive, to somehow come in, somehow it comes into us, somehow it is imparted to us. The strength of God is given to us, and now we have the power from God to be great because we say God is love. And now God is in our lives. And that is the way we can go from being good to being great, when we acknowledge that good is not nearly good enough. And in fact, it's just part of the problem. And it's not our calling. We shouldn't even be here. We have no right to even be here. And here we are, and we're stuck, and Jesus can deliver you from that reality and bring you into a whole new reality, a resurrected life, a new life. He can change your heart. And all of a sudden, when he changes your heart, when you turn away from this and turn to God through Jesus, he changes your heart, and he gives you new life. The Apostle Paul says in Romans that just as we died with Christ, we'll live with Christ. And he doesn't mean some future moment in some faraway place. He means right now by serving people, by living it, motivated by love every day, all day, every day, all day, that God can do this in us. Now, I will tell you that I'm as I've thought about this today, I thought, I think I'm mostly a good person. But I do think I can see that God, long ago, God changed my heart toward God so that I was no longer wanting to be independent of God, and I stepped away, and I'm on a journey with God. And I think, you know, really slowly and surely, day by day, opportunity by opportunity, God is teaching me to be great. Many of you I know, you're on the same journey. It's not, in other words, it's not a done thing. In fact, I would say, in my own thinking, and you can think about this yourself, I don't think great is ever something you have accomplished. That is, I think great is never in the past. I think great does not exist in the past. I think great only exists in the present as you love and serve, not looking to yourself, but looking to others. Let me just take a moment and pray for us. Close your eyes. I'm going to, while your eyes are closed, I'm going to read to you a very familiar passage from 1 Corinthians 13. And I'll just use it as sort of a final reflection on greatness. And please encourage you, think, pray. Invite Jesus into your life to lead you out of good. You know, you just want to get rid of that. You just want to say, oh, I don't want to be good. I want to be great. But you know, if you say that, you're going to say, I'm afraid to be great. But trust God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 about love, and I'm going to use the word great. He says, great is patient. Great is kind. Great does not envy. Great does not boast. Great is not proud. Great does not dishonor others. Great is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Great keeps no record of wrongs. Great does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Great always protects. Great always trusts. Great always hopes. Great always perseveres. Great never fails. Father, we invite you today to make us great. We can be good or bad in our own power and strength. We cannot be great. Jesus, you describe great to us as love, service to others. It's being willing to be like you. It's being willing to be like these other great people that we received quotes from, who we think about, and who we're inspired by. We can't get there in our own strength. We can't jump from good to great. We can't just get a little gooder and then somehow find ourselves great. It's a whole different matter. We need a changed heart. We need an impartation of divine power to live this life, Jesus, that you lived and that now you have given to us. And that we need to work out day by day, but always in your strength. Father, I would pray that if there's anyone here today who is in the good and staying there, content there, that even now they'd be thinking, well, maybe this isn't so great. Maybe good isn't good enough. And for those of us, Father, who have we've recognized great, but we see the gap still in our own lives, that maybe we often default to good when we know we've been made to be great. You'd fill our hearts with your power and your love, that even today, even this afternoon, we would have opportunities to love and serve, and we would be all that you've meant us to be. We'd be great. For you are a great God, and we are your people, made to be like you. So make this vision a reality, Father. Make the dream into our daily lives. And Father, beyond us, to all the people of the world, this world would be amazing if everyone was great. So we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.